Good morning, everyone. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 40. We're going to be reading from Psalm 40 as we start a brand new series, or what we always do at this time of year, which is where we consider for several weeks leading up to the anniversary, what is the vision of SBC? What is God calling us to be? Where is God calling us to go? And I'm very restless and frustrated at the moment. In fact, most of our staff are, because we feel that a sense of that God wants to do great things with us as a church, but that we're not realizing really our potential to the degree that we want to be seeing that potential realized. And so as we pray and as we think, and you'll know if you've been any of the teaching over the last few months, the sense that this is going to be a year of breakthrough, that we're going to see significant things happen. And I guess in my own spirit, I have a sense of, I just don't want to accept mediocrity. I don't want to just accept good or doing well enough. Some of you will know I've been involved in some lecturing at college, and there are students who hand in papers, and they basically, well, you know, I'm not going to work too hard. I'm not looking to be the top student here. I'm just looking to get the pass grade. You know, I won't say any of them are here this morning. But you know that kind of attitude that you just go for that? And sometimes as Christians and as churches, we get for that. You know, pass is good enough. And we don't want to be the best student. We don't want to be the best church. Or more importantly, we don't actually want to fulfill the call that God has placed on us as his people and as individuals. And I think we need to have a zero tolerance attitude towards that kind of thinking, as we yearn to be the community and the people that God has called us to be. Anyway, let's read from Psalm 40. And this is a fairly famous psalm. I believe you two made it even more famous by turning it into one of their songs. And verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we come and we consider these words, I ask that you will speak to each one of us here. I ask this in your name. Amen. Well, see, you'll know that our vision for the last few years has been based around Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where we have this call of Jesus as he explains to the disciples that they're called to be spirit-filled witnesses who are to go to Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we saw in this not only a call to be empowered, spirit-filled witnesses, but also a sort of strategy or a way of thinking of what we're called to do. And we expressed this in terms of local, regional, and beyond. Local, that's Stirling, our Jerusalem. Regional, that's Judea and Samaria. That's the areas around Stirling, and we call these regions. And then beyond, this is to the ends of the earth and what we're called. So we're called to witness locally, regionally, and globally, and what that looks like and the nature of that and the nature of our vision. And I just wanted to get Alan Dunn, to come up and share a little bit about some of how that vision's working itself out here in town. And
can you hear me? Great. Thank you, Alistair. Yes, well, why would you want to go out and tell people about the good news? It's something our home group have been really thinking about recently, and we were at the start of the year, And we just had a real heart and a real passion for our community, Stirling, and for our friends. And for me personally too, and the home group, we looked at the words of Jesus in the Great Commission. When Jesus is about to leave planet Earth, he's not going to see his disciples for a very long time. He says to them, go and tell people about me and baptize people. And we were challenged. I was especially challenged. When was the last time that I told someone about God? When was the last time that I baptized? It's been a while. So God was just putting this vision in our home group at the start of the year. We prayed about it. A few months later, we started looking at a book called Quench Cafe Culture by David Robertson. It's an excellent book, and in the book, David suggests that we have all these places where people like to go and have beverages. He talks a lot about hot beverages. But cafes, bars, restaurants, he says it's an excellent place outside of the church walls to have events. And he describes to hold a good event, you need a speaker, you need a theme, and you need to invite people and get people to come along. And as we went over the months, we prayed more about it. And I think God has just slowly put this vision on our hearts and on our group's hearts. And at the end of the study, we thought, well, good night. Here we are in Stirling. Can we do this? And we had a long talk about it, and we thought, yeah, we'll go ahead and do this. We came up with the theme of religion and science. So there's a lot that you can do around that. We've come up with that theme, and then we've got a special international guest speaker all the way from New Zealand. It's actually just my dad. He's here on holiday. He's Dr. Stephen Dunn. He's a surgeon, and he knows a lot about science. And we've got a panel of science-y type people. So that's kind of the vision that God's put in our heart, the what of what we're going to do. We've booked out the Kilted Kangaroo, which is a very fine venue here in Stirling. Usually they charge for using their upstairs venue area, but we're getting that for free. And that's what we want to do. We're just going to tell about a 15-minute talk that Dr. Dunn will do, and then there'll be time for question and answers. And that's where the real good stuff happens. And how can you be involved in this? Well, if you're a bit like our youth group, I used to be a pastor, but yeah, if you're a bit like our home group, you want to tell people about the good news, and you have people that are in your life and that you care deeply about that you want to tell about God. But it's very hard to get people along to church, but it's easier to get them to come to the Kilted Kangaroo. So the opportunity is there for you to say, we're doing the first one on the 29th of June. So 7:30 on the 29th of June. And the hope is that we will do them monthly, and so we'll get speakers, and in the subsequent months we'll carry on doing them. But the opportunity for you is to tell your friends and to invite them. And it is a bit of a challenge, but it's an opportunity and a way for you to say, look, come along. They'll get to hear a bit about the gospel and the good news. And it's in a non-threatening and safe kind of environment, and so that's an opportunity for you. It's tying in nicely with what Alistair's doing and the vision, and it's just a vision that's God has put on our heart, and it's an opportunity for you to invite people along, and they'll hear the good news and be able to talk about some of the big questions. So, thank you. Thanks. Cheers,
Alistair. What I want to focus on this morning is a little bit about that local dimension. Next week we'll talk a little bit about regional things and then as we move towards the anniversary, we'll talk about the beyond elements. And in fact, these things will be reflected again in our anniversary service, which is on the 27th of June. And we're going to have brilliant weather back by then because we have a church picnic. And we're really trying to encourage as many people as possible to come along to the church picnic. One of the challenges that we face as a church is building community and helping people feel connected. And again, maybe if you've been in the church a long time, you don't feel the need of community, maybe because you're connected. But for newer people that come along, it's important that there's a community that people can come in and be part of. And so we want to encourage you to come along and not just attend the service up at McRoberts, but actually come and be part of the picnic afterwards. And I believe Rob's organising some games and things and various other activities as well. So there'll be some structured activity as well. But I want to focus this morning on the whole local area and this idea of the local dimension of our vision. What is it? And I want to turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40 talks about this journey, the journey of the psalmist. And he'd obviously been going along great. Things had been good in his life. And then suddenly, things had gone wrong. And he talks about how he found himself in a slimy pit made of mud and mire. And it doesn't sound like a good experience. And I don't know if you've ever been caught up in mud and mire, but you'll know that as you try to get out of it, it actually usually gets worse. I remember as a child swimming in Loch Lomond, and probably you're not meant to swim in Loch Lomond, but the ground that you walked out on was muddy, and you sank into it, and there was this horrible gungy kind of feeling, and the psalmist was having this experience. They found themselves in their life in this place where they were mired in this muck, and they couldn't seem to get out of it, and it felt like they were on a deep pit. And the psalmist goes on to say, but as I waited on God, as I patiently waited on God, he lifted me out of that place and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. I love that image of what God is about, what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. It's about taking people from these miry situations and bringing them to places where they have solid foundations, where their feet are put on the rock. And then he goes on and he says in verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. It's interesting that he describes that experience of salvation in terms of worship. He describes it as a new song came to me. A song, the idea was that he was singing maybe a song of mourning, a funeral song, a song that reflected bereavement and death and loss. But God gave him a new song of worship. And it's here at the heart of our local vision that we find a key idea. Because actually what the local, what the center of SBC is, the thing that provides us with the gravity around which everything else rotates, is the worship of God. Sometimes, and especially in this day and age, we often talk about missional churches, and you've all heard the phrase that the church is the only organization that exists for its non-members, and the idea that the church should be outward looking, and we will be talking about that. And that's all very true. But actually, at the center of what Christianity is about is the notion of worship. And actually, worship is at the heart and has to be at the heart of what we are as a church community. It's what we do every week. Worship is actually at the center of what is at the local focus of our vision. It is that worship of Christ. We used to have a strap line which was bringing people into vital relationship with Jesus. And that's what the church should be about, bringing people into vital relationship with Jesus. Whether you're unchurched or whether you've been coming to church all of your life, the church is about bringing individuals into a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is expressed in terms of our worship of God. For many of us, and again, we sometimes substitute activity or attendance for actually what's going on in terms of our heart. You'll see in Psalm 40, if you read on it, he actually goes on to make the point that what is defined as righteousness is actually what occurs in your heart, not what takes place externally. It's not defined by sacrifices, but it's what's happening in your heart, and it's defined by your worship of God. You see, the challenge for all of us and the essence of our vision is that we should be a worshiping community. I remember having a conversation with Sandy Miller, who was the vicar of HDB, out of which the Alpha Course came. And in that church, when they did the Alpha Course, they used to bring all these non-Christians together, and they would get sometimes 1,000 people on their Alpha Course, and they would start with worship. And people critiqued it because, why are you starting an outreach thing with worship? And Sandy Miller said, he said, the number one goal that we are about is we are about creating worshipers of God. And therefore, from the minute they walk into our church, they need to know that they are called to be worshipers of that God. And that's always stuck with me, that actually what we are called to be and what we're called people to bring them into is this idea of this worship of God, to sing a new song. And you and I are called to that level of worship. And so when we begin to talk about vision and worship, what does that mean? Well, sometimes people think that means, well, we need to sing more lively songs, and we need to have more songs, or we need to have longer services. But actually, I don't think it means any of that. And again, that's us falling into the idea of defining worship in terms of a whole bunch of external things. It's interesting that people always get animated about those external things. You know, in Scottish church history, there have been moments when external things have actually caused civil wars, literally. And the worship is not ultimately about those external things. It's about what's happening in our heart. And so it requires a greater intensity from us as a community in terms of our worship of God. What does that look like? What does that worship of God look like? Well, the psalmist then goes on to explain, the one who trusts in the Lord does not look like the proud who put their trust in false images or idols. You see, everyone worships something. You're either worshiping the living God and living for him with everything, or you are worshiping something else. I was down in the southeast just the last couple of days at a wedding, and again, there's still a degree of affluence down there, even beyond that you find in Scotland, and certainly there is a degree of materialism down there that probably transcends that you find in Scotland, and when we see what's happening in our society, we can analyze it in all kinds of ways, but ultimately it's just idolatry. So what is being set up is a series of alternate lifestyles, alternate values, which encourage you to displace God as the one who for which you live. That's essentially what they do. And they will offer that in all kinds of things. You know, and here's the subtle thing. They aren't necessarily bad things. Sometimes we present this idea that you're not a worshiper of God if you're doing drugs, or you're promiscuous, or you're doing all, and we list a series of bad things, and we go, oh, that's, but actually, sometimes this is a whole load of good stuff. It's not God stuff. And actually, this good stuff encourages you to displace God as the one for which you live and you worship. And so these are false idols. And actually, and here's the thing, in the church today, we are like the Old Testament, where we have this syncretistic kind of religion, where we actually don't really want an unadulterated worship of God, where we live for God and we're sold out for God and we're committed to God in every aspect of our lives. We want God as some kind of compartment that shares with a whole bunch of other compartments that reflect the values and lifestyles of the culture around us. And I want to suggest to you, in terms of a vision for this church, that we want to be a church that is different from that. We do not want to be a syncretistic church. We want to be a church where the worship of God is central and governs everything. It's interesting, the two readings, other readings that we had. We had the story of King Ahab. And it's a very telling story. Ahab, the king of Israel, thought he had the right to the land. guess he was the king of Israel, so maybe he thought there was some justification in this. He had somebody, Naboth, who had lived on the land for many, many generations, and he was not willing to sell the land to the king. And so his wife comes along and kills the individual. There's a corruption of justice. And injustice is allowed to reign so that people can grab things that do not belong to them. And you know something? It's done in the name of God. It was done around a fast. It was done with a religious philosophy. You know, we don't have to go 1,000 miles from here to find the same kinds of things going on where we have a religious philosophy that actually justifies a form of avarice, that justifies a form of idolatry, that justifies a form of injustice. We don't have to go 1,000 miles to see that. And here, God speaks very plainly to Ahab and Jezebel in terms of how he views what that is. God says, you have to understand, I will have nothing to do with this. In fact, my judgment will fall on this. Because this does not reflect the worship of God that I call for from my people. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, he goes on to talk about law and grace. And he affirms this wonderful fact that we are saved not by what we do, but by what Christ has done. And then he's struggling with this question. Well, if it isn't what we do that causes us to be saved, it's just the grace of God and all that Jesus does, it doesn't matter what we do, does it? Because it's what Jesus did, so we can behave however we like. And Paul says to them, no, don't you get it? That actually the grace of God calls us to be worshipers, and when we become worshipers of God, we die to ourselves. We are crucified with Christ. And so the cross of Christ, which saves us and redeems us, calls us into a state of crucifixion. And you'll know last week or the week before, I was talking about how Galatians was written to a bunch of Roman soldiers, so they understood the imagery and the ideas that were happening there, this notion of crucifixion. You see, Paul was saying to them, if you are going to follow Christ, it requires something of dying to yourself. If you're not going to engage in a synchronistic kind of worship and lifestyle and living, it requires dying to some of those values and lifestyles that are advocated in terms of our society. That's what the psalmist is singing about. God has put a new song in my heart. Now, here's the thing. In Psalm 40, David goes on to say, he then says, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. Why? Because you've done wondrous things and you have things planned for us. You see, when people worship in the way that God wants them to worship, it's reflected in two things. It's reflected in, excuse the alliteration, it's reflected in their walk, in the way that they live, and it's reflected in their witness, in what people see. And as people do that, it's reflected in terms of what we do and basically what we say. And so the acid test in terms of our lives is actually looking and saying, does our life reflect the worship of God? If someone came along and did an audit of our lives, what would they say the thing that we are living for is? Are we living for our next vacation? Are we living maybe for our families? Are we living for our careers? Are we living to accumulate as much money as we possibly can? What are we living for? You see, true worship looks like we're living for God and for His glory, because He's lifted us out of the mire and He's set us on the rock. And so our local vision is to create a kind of radical worshiper, a worshiper who is in a vital relationship with God. A worshiper who comes and says, God, My life is for you. And I want you and your agenda to be driving my life, not my agenda. I don't want you to just be a part or a sideline or a compartment in my life. But I want you to be the one who sets the song that I sing. You know, everything that we do, and I could talk about zillions of programs, and we will be talking about lots of programs, and we will be talking about the amazing things that SBC does. But the truth is, everything has to come from worship. Everything has to be rooted and grounded in that worship of God. And if it is not, if it's just activity, if it's just even achievement, but does not reflect that worship of God, then we are no better than what Ahab did to Naboth. We do not know that new song that God has called us to sing. And in many ways, we're worshiping those same false idols and putting our trust in the wrong place. Our vision for SBC has to be a radical worshiping community, a radical worshiping community that calls others to the worship of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the calling that's on the life of this church to bring people into vital relationship with you. Lord, we come before you this morning and we recognize that maybe elements of our lives do not reflect that uncompromising worship, that we do not have that radicalism about our lives and that we've given ourselves over to syncretism. And we worship many false things in the way that we live our lives. Lord, I pray that you would make us a radical worshiping community. I pray that as we go out to bring others the good news of Jesus, that they would understand and see that that call is to the worship of you. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen.